A Contra Podcast Conversations for the curious essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive.
Today we're looking at something really special, Randy Pausch's The Last Lecture. And this isn't your typical self-help guide. It's really a roadmap for living, but delivered by someone who knew his time was incredibly short. That gives it this, well, this weight, this urgency that you just don't find elsewhere.
Absolutely. It's less a book, more an instruction manual, maybe, on living with purpose, with joy. And it comes from this very pragmatic, scientific mind. So our mission today really is to pull out Pausch's core lessons. And they're not just about, you know, achieving your goals. It's much deeper. It's about the character you need for a truly meaningful life.
Exactly. And key to that is the central idea he used, this brilliant hook, the head fake. He basically says, like, the lecture seems like it's about achieving childhood dreams.
But the head fake is, it's actually about how to live your life properly, the dreams. They're just the vehicle for the real lessons.
Yeah, and to really get that, you need to understand the man behind it. Dr. Randolph Randy Pausch. He lived from 1960 to 2008, and he was a real force at Carnegie Mellon University, professor of computer science, a pioneer in virtual reality. He even co-founded the Entertainment Technology Center, created the Alice software, which was huge for making programming accessible, even fun.
And that's the key thing, isn't it? He wasn't some kind of philosopher or, you know, a guru. He was a scientist, logical, pragmatic. And I think that's why his advice hits so hard.
Definitely.
It's not abstract theory. It's like problem solving, but applied to life itself.
And then the context. In 2006, he gets diagnosed with terminal pancreatic cancer.
Yeah.
He's got three young kids, Dylan, Logan, and Chloe, a wife, Jai. He's right in his prime. So he's forced, essentially, to distill everything he knows, everything he believes in, into this final message, primarily for them. And that intense pressure, that specific situation, it makes his perspective incredibly unique and honestly really relevant for all of us, even now.
The book itself, it grew out of a talk he gave at Carnegie Mellon, right? Back in 2007.
CMU had this lecture series basically asking professors, okay, if this was it, your very last lecture, what wisdom would you share?
Kind of a morbid question, usually hypothetical.
Exactly. But for Pausch, tragically, it wasn't hypothetical at all. It was real. And that gave the whole thing this dual purpose. On one hand, it was literally a message in a bottle for his own children, you know, so they'd have his guidance, his values, as they grew up without him.
Yeah, that's powerful.
But it also became this incredible gift to everyone else, a way to share his hard-won wisdom, to kind of nudge us all towards living more intentionally.
And the way he structured it is just brilliant. He uses his own childhood dreams, some pretty specific, even quirky ones, like wanting to float in zero gravity,
yeah,
playing in the NFL, being Captain Kirk.
Even winning stuffed animals at fairs.
Right. And becoming a Walt Disney Imagineer.
It's genius because those dreams, even the really whimsical ones, they become the teaching tools. Like we said, the head fake idea. It's not really about landing the exact dream.
No.
It's about what you learn trying. Perseverance, dealing with failure, the importance of fundamentals, all the stuff that pursuing the dream forces you to develop.
Okay, so let's jump straight into those lessons then, because they really speak to how we handle obstacles.
Yeah.
Take the zero gravity dream. He wanted to fly on NASA's Vomit Comet, but there was a rule. Faculty weren't allowed. Full stop.
Right, a clear rejection, a brick wall.
But he didn't just walk away. He saw the rule, but thought, okay, is there another way? So he pitched himself differently, not as faculty, but as a hometown journalist covering his students' team project. And that role was allowed.
Ah, the side door.
Exactly. That's a huge lesson. Persistence in finding the side door. If the front door is locked, don't give up. Try the back door, climb through the window, look for the alternative path to the real goal.
That mentality really shines through with his Imagineer dream, too. He applied right after his PhD, and Disney just flat out rejected him.
Yeah, imagine that. A huge professional blow.
Definitely. But years down the line, he finds that side door again. He gets involved in a joint project between his university and Disney, works his way in, collaborates, and eventually he actually gets a sabbatical to work at Imagineering.
Incredible persistence.
And that led to probably the most famous quote from the whole lecture, the one about brick walls.
Oh, yeah.
He says, the brick walls are there for a reason. The brick walls are not there to keep us out.
Right.
They're there to stop the other people.
It just reframes everything, doesn't it? It flips adversity on its head. It's not a personal failure signal. It's a test. A test of how badly you really want something.
Exactly. It's there to weed out those who aren't committed enough. If you internalize that, think about how you'd approach, say, a job rejection differently.
Yeah. It's not I failed. It's, okay, this barrier is showing me how much I want this. Now, how do I get around it?
Precisely. And this idea of learning from setbacks, it comes up again with his NFL dream. Obviously, he never played professional football. But he talks about his youth coach, Jim Graham. Coach Graham drilled them mercilessly on fundamentals. Hard work, blocking, tackling, stuff that wasn't glamorous or fun.
Right, the basics.
But that experience, even though he didn't achieve the dream, taught him something profound. It led to another great line. Experience is what you get when you didn't get what you wanted.
That's brilliant. So failure isn't wasted effort. It's actually data acquisition, an investment in wisdom.
Yes. You shift focus from sting of not getting the thing to the skills and knowledge you picked up while trying. That's often the real prize.
And it seems like this mindset wasn't just from coaches. His parents played a huge role.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
He tells this wonderful story about them letting him paint whatever he wanted on his bedroom walls.
Anything.
Anything, including like a quadratic equation and an elevator door complete with floor numbers.
Wow. That takes some trust.
It does, but the lesson there is about empowerment. They gave him the freedom to explore, to try things, even to make a huge mess sometimes.
That's such a gift, isn't it? Fostering creativity and independence rather than just imposing rules. That applies to teams too, not just kids.
Absolutely. And speaking of guidance, he really valued mentors, even the tough ones. He talks about Andy Van Damme at Brown University, who was known for giving really blunt, critical feedback.
Ouch. Sometimes hard to hear.
For sure. But Pausch cherished it. He understood that someone pushing you that hard, giving you honest criticism, it means they actually believe in you. They're invested.
That's a good point. Easy feedback doesn't help you grow. It's the tough love sometimes.
Seek it out, he implies. If someone cares enough to give you the hard truth, listen.
Okay, so we've talked about dreams, obstacles, mentors. What about his attitude through all this, especially facing the diagnosis?
Ah, yes. The Tigger versus Eeyore choice. This is huge.
From Winnie the Pooh, right? Bouncy, optimistic Tigger versus gloomy Eeyore.
Exactly. Pausch made it crystal clear. Optimism, enthusiasm. These are choices. Conscious choices we make every day.
Even when things are objectively terrible.
Especially then. He showed that choosing the Tigger attitude doesn't just make your life better, it makes life better for everyone around you. Enthusiasm is contagious.
So we can't always control what happens to us.
No, but we have, as he put it, absolute control over how we play the hand we're dealt. Even a hand at like terminal cancer. That was core to his message, especially for his kids. Choose joy.
And that choice, that attitude, it kind of leads into what you call the ultimate head fake lesson earlier.
Right. People over things.
Yeah.
Throughout the lecture, you see him constantly prioritizing relationships, his family, obviously, his mentors, his students. He found his greatest joy, he says, not really in hitting his own goals, but in helping others achieve theirs. His courses, his teaching. It proves that the emotional legacy, the impact on people, that's the stuff that truly matters.
He had that course, right?
Yeah.
Building virtual worlds.
Yes. And he designed it very intentionally. Threw together students from totally different backgrounds. Artists, programmers, writers gave them intense deadlines to force them to learn how to communicate, collaborate, rely on each other. The insight being that real leadership, real fulfillment, comes from investing in other people's potential. Enabling others is where the magic happens.
Okay, so if we were to boil down the core messages, the real cargo of the lecture, the head fake stuff, what are the absolute essentials?
Well, first, that head fake idea itself, the indirect learning. The most important lessons often aren't the obvious ones, like football wasn't just about sport. It taught teamwork and resilience. The VR course wasn't just about tech. It taught collaboration.
So look deeper, beyond the surface task for the character skills you're building along the way.
Exactly. Second, I'd say the power of gratitude and authenticity. Pausch really hammered this home. Showing gratitude, he said, is simple but incredibly powerful. It strengthens bonds, fuels that Tigger outlook.
What authenticity?
Yeah. Rejecting what he called ironic detachment, you know, being too cool to care, he argued for committing fully, genuinely, to the things and people you value.
Okay, that makes sense. What else?
Third, definitely the combination of hard work and fun. He totally rejected the idea that serious work has to be, well, solemn.
His whole career proves that. Virtual reality, it's science and entertainment.
Right. So bring a sense of playfulness even to tough challenges. It doesn't mean you're not serious. It often means you're more creative and resilient.
And he gave us some practical tools too, right? Like the apology thing.
Oh, yes. The proper three-part apology. Yeah. Crucial. When you mess up, one, acknowledge exactly what you did wrong. Two, say, I'm sorry. Three, explain how you'll fix it or make amends.
No excuses. No, I'm sorry if you fell.
Nope. Direct, honest, responsible.
I like how concrete that is. Okay, so let's bring this home for the listener. How can we apply these ideas in our own lives?
Well, professionally, that side door thinking is huge. Face a setback or rejection. Don't just stop. Ask, okay, what's another way in? What's the alternative path? Reframe rejection as redirection.
Right. And if you're leading a team,
foster that honest feedback culture. Remember Andy Van Damme, tough but caring, giving direct, constructive criticism with the clear intent to help someone improve. That's a real gift to their growth.
Okay. And personally,
consciously choose the Tigger attitude. When things get tough, deliberately lean into optimism and energy and practice gratitude actively. Like, actually send those thank you notes he talks about. Commit to your passions without irony.
And for parents or anyone mentoring younger people,
emulate Pausch's parents. Take kids' dreams seriously, even the wild ones. Allow for exploration, even messy exploration, like painting elevator doors on walls. It builds creativity.
It's about fostering that sense of possibility.
Exactly. It's about helping them build their own capacity to chase dreams and overcome walls. The goal is a legacy of values, not just achievements.
You know, reflecting on all this, what really stands out to me is how Pausch managed to take something so incredibly heavy, his own death, and make it feel, well, almost light. Instructional, yes, but also full of whimsy, like talking about Captain Kirk and winning stuffed animals alongside these deep life lessons. It proves that fun and hard work aren't opposites. They actually feed each other.
That's a great point. For me, the most profound takeaway is still the ultimate purpose behind it all, creating that legacy of love and values, especially for his kids. His life and that lecture became this powerful proof that while we don't get to control how long we live, we absolutely control the depth and the meaning of our lives. And maybe the best way to prepare for the end whenever it comes is just to live every day as fully as possible. Focus on integrity, on connection, on enabling the dreams of others.
Wow. A powerful message indeed. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.